As you know, Bron is one of the best players to play this game, and his ability to be able to kind of do everything on the floor allows me to be able to just figure it out. I'm coming to a championship caliber team, and my job is to make sure that I'm able to make his game easy for him.
That was new Los Angeles Laker Russell Westbrook declaring at his introductory press conference yesterday that he is there to make life easier for LeBron James. All of which raises questions about how maybe the most unapologetic superstar in basketball might do the one thing he's been loath to do for years: change. So today, NBA insider Ramona Shelburne unravels the soap opera behind Westbrook's dramatic arrival, and she explains why this experiment just might work. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Wednesday, August 11th. This is ESPN Daily. So, Ramona, we are in the throes of NBA free agency, and I just want to be very clear about something. I love the beauty of the game. I love the numbers behind the game. I love the seriousness of the game. But I also, let's be very real about this, I love the gossip. And what you've been covering out in Los Angeles with the Lakers, getting all of these dudes, all of these big names, I love that this is where we are now, Ramona. We're in gossip mode.
We're in L.A. You know, as somebody who talks on the radio out here in L.A. for hours and hours and hours every week, they just give us something to talk about all the time. What's the hashtag we all use? Hashtag content. I mean, this is going to be hashtag content all year. I mean, look, this is going to be really fun. And every time I say this is going to be fun, I hearken back to the old Lee Jenkins Sports Illustrated cover story.
Oh, God, yes. Ramona, no, this was that infamous cover from 2012. It was the offseason. It was a different set of aging and newly acquired Lakers. We're talking about Steve Nash on one side, Dwight Howard on the other, and both of them are basically crotch thrusting around a giant headline that declared, now this is going to be fun. And spoiler alert, they did not win, and it was not fun.
I don't know how many times I said this on air that year. They had four future Hall of Famers on that
yes,
team.
Yes.
Okay, guess what? The Lakers have six future Hall of Famers on their team now. Six. LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, Dwight Howard again.
Mm-hmm, he's back.
Carmelo Anthony and Marc Gasol. That's six future Hall of Famers. That's incredible.
And so the hope now, Ramona, is that this current team, headlined by the acquisition of Russell Westbrook, will not be like what happened in 2013 when that team got swept in the first round of the playoffs by the Spurs. And the hope here is that maybe this collection of aging future Hall of Famers can bring a title back after a disappointing season last year. But in terms of how Westbrook even landed in LA, when were those seeds first planted?
Well, Pablo, our story begins in the summer of 2019. That's the summer that all of us were watching Kawhi Leonard and his every move.
Mm.
A lot of those moves were not visible. A lot of those moves took place behind the walls of Kawhi Club, which is usually the barrier to entry is we do not talk about Kawhi Club. If you talk about Kawhi Club, you are kicked out.
There are like 50 velvet ropes. There are ropes
yes.
defending ropes. Like Kawhi Leonard is the Fort Knox of NBA info. Like he doesn't talk to anyone.
Yeah. And that summer, we found out he actually did talk to a lot of people, Pablo. So the first layer we found out about in real time, Kawhi Leonard wanted to come home. He's from Los Angeles. There's two teams here, the Lakers and the Clippers, and both of them were interested in him, had cleared the salary cap space to chase after him as a free agent, and felt like they had a really good chance of landing him. But in order to get Kawhi Leonard, they felt like they had to give him help. They had to give him someone to play with. The Lakers already had LeBron James. The Clippers didn't have any superstars on that team. It was more like join a great team and you be the man. But Kawhi wasn't interested in that. around the same time, Kawhi gets a call from Russell Westbrook, also from Los Angeles, who has just signed a big contract with the Oklahoma City Thunder, has made a commitment to stay there, wants to stay there, feels good about his relationship in Oklahoma City. But also, if there's ever a chance in the back of his mind, he's thinking, if there's ever a way to go play in Los Angeles, I'd be into that. So Russell Westbrook calls Kawhi Leonard. Russell Westbrook, Pablo, is a man of action. Anybody who has watched him play knows that the one thing you would say about him is he is nothing if not decisive. If there's a way to the lane and way to the basket, he will find it, or he will make it, or he will just put his head down and charge through it. It's not always with a deft touch. It's not always with a lot of...
Delicate is not an adjective I would use around Russell Westbrook destroying a basketball rim.
Correct. And so he places the phone call.
Right. Westbrook calls Kawhi.
And maybe that was unwise. Maybe he didn't see ways that this could backfire. It was just, hey, I'm from L.A. You're from L.A. You're thinking of going home. I've always wanted to go home. What do you think? That was a very sincere phone call that I don't think Russell thought would be turned and used against him in the way that it was. Kawhi takes this information and used it. Ends up calling Paul George, who is Russell's teammate in Oklahoma City, and saying, I got a call from your guy, and just in case you didn't know, he wants to play with me, which means you would be left alone, but I'd rather play with you. So should we do this together? Can we make this happen?
Ramona, I mean, this is, it's rare that you get an NBA love triangle that is this consequential.
Yeah. It's the type of gossipy stuff that you have to get five sources on. There's no way you cannot go on one source or two or three even. You need to really nail this one.
Yeah, you need to triangulate the love triangle.
Because, you know, exactly, you have to triangulate the love triangle. You have to make sure that you're not being spun or that there's not some ulterior motive. And so I just kind of filed it away, like, wow, that's a whole other side of this. And then finally, when this Russell Westbrook trade came to be, I got a few more sources on there to confirm all this. And it made everything look different to me because this is – one, it adds a very delicious storyline to whenever the Lakers play the Clippers again and Kawhi Leonard is back from his injury. But I think for Russ, it really frames this as a homecoming that's over 2 years in the making.
So how did this homecoming that he's wanted for so long, for years, how did it come together over these last couple weeks?
Russ lives on the West Side. LeBron lives on the West Side. I think they both live, I think it's called Brentwood. It's either Brentwood, Bel Air, Santa Monica. So Russ and LeBron James live about 5 minutes from each other. 5 minutes. So a couple of weeks before this trade, LeBron and Russ have been talking and texting, and they've had this sort of mutual respect society for a while. They decide, you know what? Let's get together. Let's talk, get in a room. Russ, Anthony Davis, LeBron, let's get in a room and just put our basketball heads together and say, how is this going to work? So they all meet at LeBron's house and they just have this like basketball heads conversation. And ever since that conversation, they feel like it's going to work. They're really excited about it. They're committed to making this happen. When you look back at NBA history over the last 3 or 4 years, Russell Westbrook has been traded 3 times now in these last 4 seasons. He's been on all, he gets traded from Oklahoma City to Houston, then from Houston to Washington, and now Washington to the Lakers. And each time he's sort of further and further away from the thing that he really cared about, which was playing back home in Los Angeles with all his family around.
So Ramona, you're indicating here that maybe Russ wasn't so miserable in Washington, that it's more that LA has just always been his dream. So you're saying that maybe Bradley Beal shouldn't be taking this personally.
By all accounts, Russ and Brad Beal had a very good relationship. They were willing to come back and try this again. But you saw what a half season of them together. And I say a half season because the first half of the Wizards season, I think we just write off. They had a massive COVID outbreak that they couldn't even field the team for a couple of weeks. Russell Westbrook has to play hair on fire out of his mind just to like get them to the ninth seed in the playoffs. They lose in the first round. You know, I think both Russ and Beal had seen enough to say, well, this team isn't winning any championships. Maybe there's something we can do to make it better. And Russ has seen this movie before. He sees an opportunity. He's talking to Brad. He's also talking to LeBron James for several weeks. And the moment of truth comes right before the draft. Because right before the draft, the Lakers have a deal with Sacramento where they could potentially trade for Buddy Hield, who's a great shooter, in some ways a better fit basketball-wise than Russell Westbrook. Because when you have Anthony Davis and LeBron James, I like the line that Zach Lowe had in his column, which is, you know, if LeBron James is the best shooter around LeBron James, you're not doing it right.
Okay? Yeah, no, you need shooters, you need guys to space the floor, which is what Buddy Hield is, even if he has none of the resume, of course, of Russell Westbrook.
So the morning of the NBA draft, Russell Westbrook finally sees that he's got to make a decision. If he lets the draft pass and the Lakers end up going through with the deal on with Buddy Hield, if that deal comes to bear, his path back to LA to be traded to the Lakers, his path evaporates, just goes away. So Russell Westbrook and his agent, Thad Fouché, say, all right, it's time. Let's have a conversation with the Wizards. The conversation was not a trade demand. It was not like, I want out of here or anything like that. The conversation with the Wizards was, if there is a path to trade me to the Lakers and that makes sense for your team and that would help your team, I would be really into that. Right? Some version of, I would really appreciate that. I've always wanted to play at home. This would be a great opportunity for me and my family. The Wizards come out of this with a net of Kyle Kuzma, Montrezl Harrell, the number 22 pick in the draft, which then gets traded to Indiana for Aaron Holiday, good young point guard. And then they have enough cap space and cap relief to go and sign Spencer Dinwiddie in free agency. That actually looks pretty good. It actually worked really well for the Lakers, too, because, you know, in the regular season, Buddy Hield may have been a better fit next to LeBron James and Anthony Davis just because of his shooting and his age. But in those 16 playoff games you need to win for a championship, they'll go with the former MVP. They'll go with the perennial all-star, with the guy like Russell Westbrook, who's a future Hall of Famer.
All right, after the break, I need your insight, Ramona, on why the whole Russell Westbrook, LeBron James chemistry experiment won't blow up in the worst way.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo, another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So, Ramona, the deal is done. Russell Westbrook is now a Laker, but I still need to run through some possible buyer's remorse here because the reality of all of this is that a lot of teams now have tried the Russell Westbrook experiment, and it did not work for them. So, what exactly is different here?
He has never played with someone like LeBron James that he respects like an older brother. He has never played with somebody who works out earlier than he does and harder and has the same. Like, one of the things that I have come to learn about LeBron James and covering him is that he really thrives off of structure, off of discipline. That was part of the appeal of going to Miami. He, you know, the infamous heat culture that we always talk about. Mm-hmm. LeBron loves that. And there's little clues along the way if you cover him closely, if you see how neat his locker is, like things like this. But he doesn't always talk about it. You kind of have to infer that from following him on Instagram and seeing what time he posts those workout videos. 2014, I did a story on LeBron when he went back to Cleveland. And I remember flying to Cleveland and I had like one day to just gather as much scene as I could. I remember going to his offices in Akron and I got to see his office and it was like, Pablo, if I even bumped into something and moved any of the many sports memorabilia or books, if I even moved something a centimeter, I guarantee you he would have noticed. I mean, this place was immaculate. And it's kind of impressive, right? I mean, we're all been working from home for a year. Like, if I showed you my office, you'd be like, okay,
This is a no judgment closet, Ramona, right? Yes.
But when you see somebody who is really put together and really has their space and everything in it perfect, it makes an impression. And that's LeBron and that's Russ. Russ is the same way. He is Mr. Organized, Mr. Discipline. There's these infamous stories from Oklahoma where he and Kevin Durant, when they were young players, they would try to beat each other to the gym in the morning. Like, first they would get there at 7:30, then they would get there at 7, then they would get there at 6. And like Thunder eventually had to tell him, hey, stop. Like, people have to show up when you're getting there. It's like 5:30 in the morning and the workout guy is like, got a family. I mean, what are you doing? You know, like, stop. So we're all going to say we're getting here at 7:30 or whatever. No. And it's a tie. You both win. Okay. Like, you don't need, then, you know, you've heard the story about, you know, the parking space. Have you heard this one?
No. What's the parking space story?
So I've heard the story a few times, but the best version of it came from Fred Katz, who's writing The Athletic about Russell Westbrook this past year. And, you know, the story of Westbrook and Durant trying to beat each other to practice. Well, one of the days, Durant beats Russ to practice. And to celebrate, he parks in Russell Westbrook's parking spot.
That's not a guy I'd want to encounter in that scenario.
So Russ sees that Durant has parked in his spot, and then they talk about it when they see each other inside, and Durant's trash talking, he's rubbing it in, and to get him back, Russ blocked him into the spot, but it wasn't enough, right? He has to, like, can't just like block him in to prove a point. He goes and gets Durant's keys, drives his car off to a nearby parking lot, and Durant has to go find it afterwards.
But Ramona, what you're suggesting here, though, is that this guy who does that will have a harmony with a LeBron James.
Yes.
Who I'm guessing also doesn't love it when people take his parking spot.
I've never heard LeBron parking lot stories, parking space stories, but I think Russ and LeBron are very similar. And if you did a personality quiz, they would come out very similarly.
Well, the word that comes to mind as an amateur psychotherapist here is that these guys both like control.
Ooh.
So the thing that you seem to be believing here is that Russell Westbrook respects LeBron James enough to behave in a way that allows him to take his hands off of the only steering wheel in this equation.
This is my theory, Pablo. This is what, I don't know if it's going to work. Maybe I'm just an optimist. Maybe I just like good stories. Maybe I'm LeBron is not only a little bit older than Russ. So there's a sort of older brother dynamic to this relationship, but he's also got 4 rings. And I generally tend to believe that people who are excellent at their jobs feed off of each other, that if Russ truly, if he gets in the room with LeBron, if they start working out and they're in camp and they see each other and it's like, I've never played with anybody who's like me. You work really hard like this. You show up early. You're really organized. You're in control. Like, I think he really respects LeBron. And if he sees that and LeBron sees that from him, I think they're going to get along really well. LeBron has historically done that with players who have the same type of wiring that he does.
And LeBron James, by the way, has turned over entire rosters to get to this point. Like, it's very unapologetic. I mean, the way that LeBron James likes to run his team. But seemingly, Ramona, he selected Russell Westbrook. And the upside, though, in LeBron James's mind, when he thinks about what does Russ bring him as this other playmaker, not a shooter, but a playmaker, what does that enable LeBron to do? Why does he love that idea?
Well, let's go back to the year 2020 when the Lakers win the title. Who is the folk hero from that title run? Playoff Rondo.
Yeah, he had a whole nickname and everything that I laughed at, dismissed, and then the dude showed up. I have to admit, Playoff Rondo did show up.
Playoff Rondo. Now imagine Playoff Rondo all year long. I mean, this is, if you go back to LeBron James' historical success, he had a guy like that in Miami. His name, Dwayne Wade, was like that for him. He could create, so LeBron didn't have to do everything. Kyrie Irving creates, so LeBron doesn't have to do everything. I think the healthiest version of LeBron James in a star-driven ecosystem is where he has another star who can create. The question of the Lakers is, the Lakers season this year is, will Russell Westbrook change? Will he adapt to playing alongside LeBron James? I'm going to take the yes for now side. I'm going to take that everybody's going into this with good intentions, and we will see how it works out. Interpersonal and personality dynamics will be endlessly fascinating. Hashtag content all year long. But I have these visions of like LeBron and Russ beating each other into the gym in the morning. Like, I mean, I really doubt that Russ would mess with LeBron's car in the parking space. Like, and maybe that's the difference. Maybe that is the difference, that if LeBron gets there early and parks in Russ's space, do you think that he steals his keys and moves his car?
Okay, coming up, I want to get into the forgotten roommate in this saga, the Los Angeles Clippers.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
I think we have to bring in the other element in this entire universe that you've described, because not only is it a bunch of Lakers finding their parking spots at Staples Center, also there, Ramona, to bring in full circle here, is Kawhi Leonard, who is parking somewhere in the vicinity, maybe not on the same days. They stagger all of the stuff, I assume, the Clippers and the Lakers. They're not necessarily bumping into each other in every hallway. But the idea that under this roof are Russell Westbrook and LeBron James on one side and Paul George and Kawhi Leonard on the other, I mean, it raises the question of how do the Clippers look in all of this?
Well, they look like a team that went to the Western Conference Finals last year.
Seconds here at Staples Center. It's official. The LA Clippers are going to the Conference Finals.
But are not going to have Kawhi Leonard for most of next year. Like, that's, they look like a team that's been wounded and is kind of having is going to have a sabbatical year. I mean, in a lot of ways, you look at what the Clippers did last year, they were like a nice story. There was the Reggie Jackson games, right? They had a couple of gritty upset
Terrence
wins.
Terrence Mann scoring 40.
Terrence Mann game. Oh, my favorite.
Terrence Mann for three. Bang!
But, you know, the Clippers are going to be without Kawhi Leonard for most of the year, if not all of it.
Do we even know, like, how hurt he is?
Oh, well, he had surgery on a partially torn ACL, so he's hurt. I mean, that's generally a 6 to 9 month recovery period. So the 6 to 9 month clock, normally if you get hurt in the playoffs, and we saw this with Klay Thompson, that was in the finals, that happened in June. Klay Thompson missed all of the next season. Yes, it's a partially torn ACL versus a fully torn ACL that Clay had. It's a little less serious, but it's still a torn ACL. And you don't mess around with that. It's also the same leg that he's had all of those quad injuries. So you don't necessarily want to mess with that.
Ramona, why did Kawhi Leonard choose to decline the player option on his deal and then re-sign with the Clippers? What was the motive and the strategy there?
Have you forgotten the rules to Kawhi Club?
So we have another mystery to be solved, is what you're saying.
So when Kawhi Leonard declines his player option, two things happen. The rest of the league can approach him in free agency. They can go to Kawhi and say, let's have a meeting. Let's talk about how you'd fit here. The Clippers also lose the ability to file for an injured player exemption, which would have created a little salary spot for them to replace him if he misses all year. But I think the rest of the league knew Kawhi wasn't really going anywhere. And the teams that had salary cap space that could have pursued him just had to move on with their business. They couldn't sit around and wait like everyone did a couple of years ago in 2019 and actually hold up their cap space, hold up their roster building. I think the assumption league-wide was he was just going to go back to LA, which sort of begs the question to me of why do you decline the player option? Because there's another world in which he could have sat out all of next year, then done the same thing and signed a longer extension with LA.
He's up to something, Ramona. I don't know what it is. I'm not in the Kawhi Club, as we've established very clearly by now, but I do know that he's up to some stuff. So now that the NBA is once again rotating around Staples Center, Ramona, what should Lakers fans be expecting when this soap opera actually plays out on the court? Is there confetti? Is there a parade in their future, do you think?
Well, let me tell you a story about Laker fans. They were not in their right minds last year when the Clippers were making their playoff run after the Lakers got eliminated. It was rough here. It was really hard for them to take. I mean, remember Tyronn Lue gets in front of the cameras and says, listen, I know you Laker fans, you know, you're disappointed in your team, but you don't need to hate on us. Like you just, once the Lakers are out, like you can just root for the Clippers or you can just not root. Oh. And I would say to my co-host in LA, I said, Steve Mason is my co-host here. He hosts the Mason Ireland show. I said, Steve, are you hate watching the Clippers or are you not watching? And he was like, oh, I'm hate watching. And I'm like, what is that? Pablo, the Clippers are down this year because Kawhi's going to be out. Well, we assume they'll be down. I expect the word comeuppance to come up a lot. Like comeuppance to be a big factor here. I also picture the character in The Simpsons, Nelson, when he laughs at people.
Yeah, just a lot of Nelson Muntz pointing at the body of the Los Angeles Clippers.
Like the relationship between those two franchises, it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be dignified.
Ramona Shelburne, thank you for spilling and sipping tea with us on ESPN Daily.
Thanks, Pablo.
I'm Pablo Torre, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.